Hey, what's up, everybody? Chad Kalick here, and welcome back to the In a Crowded Room podcast, where on this episode, which is episode number 196, isn't that crazy? Almost 200 episodes that we've cranked out here. This episode's going to be different for a couple reasons. One, first, I want to kind of update you guys. I have a few announcements to make, and then I'm going to talk a lot for the first time about my relationship with Ryan Buell and some things that transpired about 10 years ago, which I've not spoken about. If you don't know, Ryan was the star of Paranormal State, the director of the Paranormal Research Society. And at one point, he was definitely my best friend. And some things transpired and went down at the end of the filming of Paranormal State, and things got a little crazy. Now, the reason I'm going to kind of share my side of it is because after not talking for about a decade, Ryan and I have been recently talking. And in fact, we recorded a 3-hour podcast in which I was blown away by the honesty demonstrated by Ryan in this conversation. Ryan struggled with addiction, and he made some pretty horrible decisions. And I guess now is the time for me to kind of talk about things from my perspective, because in that 3-hour podcast, because we hadn't talked in so long in great detail and really got in the dirt about what happened, you know, we were going back and forth so much, I caught myself at times talking just as much as he was, and he was supposed to be the guest on the podcast. So I want you guys to really hear him and focus on him. And I'm going to try to edit that podcast down from 3 hours to like 2 hours, you know, and just primarily, you know, I want you to hear his story. And it is something else, man. I was shocked. I was shocked by, I mean, I knew a lot, but there was a lot I didn't know. And he addresses everything. And I think you guys will see learnable and teachable moments in his story. You know, you guys could be the judge on, you know, what you think about his path and where he's at now. And, you know, I'll let that be whatever it'll be. And in a few days, I sincerely urge you all to listen to my interview with Mr. Buell. I think pretty much everybody will be shocked by what he has to say. But before I get into my thoughts, how Mr. Buell affected my life, both in a positive and a negative way, I first just wanted to thank you guys. You guys have been flooding my email, actually, and my Facebook as well, with a lot of compliments about the music that I've been releasing that's going to be in Harbingers. I just want you guys to know that it just means a lot to me that you guys take the time to listen to that stuff. As many of you know, music is my number one passion in the world. To the compliments about my singing. Singing's like anything else, like playing guitar or lifting weights or anything. The more and more you do it, the better and better you get. But I will tell you one shocking thing that really blows me away. It's just amazing how life works, and it's just one of those things that tells me there has to be a God. As you guys know, when I was hospitalized, I lost my voice for like 6 months. And I was terrified. terrified that I would not only never be able to talk again, but that I would never be able to sing again. So when my voice started coming back finally, after literally 6 months of silence, you guys will see this in the film actually, in Harbingers. It's just crazy as shit. I remember talking to the speech therapist and saying, "Hey, I'm starting to be able to talk now. Will I be able to sing? Is that going to be possible?" And she was like, I don't want to tell you no. Like right now, let's just be happy that you have a voice to talk and let's see how it goes." And she was like, "Anything else? It just really depends on, how your vocal cords heal and how they're doing and how much stress you put on them." And I gotta tell you, man, the second my voice came back, I sang everything. I was cracking Laura up. I would be answering Laura singing stuff. Like, just the fact that I could make sound and sing stuff, it just, I mean, I was in love with singing again. And I probably in the last, 3 or 4 months have sang more than I ever have in my life. But what's crazy is when the vocal cords, when they healed up, they have scar tissue. And the scar tissue has oddly given me a little more control, if that makes sense. It's just, once it came back, it was like it was stronger, but in a control sense, not necessarily in a volume sense, but I can control the notes a little bit better. The other thing that happened that really allowed me to try things at a higher range, because I am usually a bass, and most of the things I sing are like in a lower register. But I quit smoking. That was the big thing. I mean, I'd been smoking for 20 years, and that really allowed me to be able to sing things in a higher register.
Without me, the writing on the wall won't speak. And with me always, living with the guilt of envy. Memories are just where you laid down. I dragged the waters to the depths you loved them down. What did you expect to find? Was it something you left behind? Don't you remember anything I said when I said, don't fall away and be mad to myself? Don't fall away and leave love playing out in my hands. In my hands again.
So that's why you're kind of, hearing me trying some different things. The Fade Into You cover that was released yesterday, but that one's a little more, like my older style. I mean, I'm singing most of it in a lower range with a higher harmony, like a fifth harmony. And the other stuff, the Lewis Capaldi song, and, I actually have one you haven't heard yet. That's a Stone Temple Pilots cover. And I have a couple of original songs you haven't heard yet that are in that higher register. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's really cool because there's some scenes in this, in Harbingers. I cannot wait until you guys see Harbingers because it's such a different animal for me. It's just a different method of telling the story. It's more visual than ever. It's bigger in concept than ever. Music plays a massive role in it. I'm honestly loving every second of it. But what was cool is that there's just certain songs that I know fit certain places. And if the original song doesn't really kind of, if it's close, but it's not hitting that like emotional kind of tone that I'm going for, it's been really fun to cover it. An example with Fade Into You was that song is traditionally like this sad kind of crooning, love song, like a love lost type song. But that's not what the song really means to me. And to me, the song is just more about discovering that something you once believed in isn't what you thought it was. You know, hence this beautiful line, I look to you and I see nothing. I look to you, I see the truth.
I look to you and I see nothing. I look to you to see the truth. You live your life, you go in shadow. You'll come apart and you'll go black. Some kind of night into your darkness. Colors your eyes with what's not there. Fade into you. Strange, you never knew.
So it just allowed me to make the song more haunting than it was sad, if that makes sense. So I'm honestly having a blast with it. And Harbingers, it's coming along, guys. I've had to do some more shooting, the recording, the audio stuff slows things down. But in general, what slowed things down over the last couple months, and it's really interesting that Ryan and I should start talking. It's weird how fate kind of brings people together when the time is right. But I got to tell you guys, Western medicine, we can do a whole other podcast on this. It's just so fucked, man. A couple months ago, I had just had it with all, like I said, the psych meds, and, you know, the doctors call and say, how are you doing? And it's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm up and down. I have times where I'm frustrated. I get anxiety, blah, blah, blah. I realize you can't say that to doctors, because they're going to be like, here, take this, take this, take this. And just going through a year's worth of psych meds and, you know, trying to relate to them that I'm okay with having anxiety. I'm okay with being sad. Like, those are emotions. I should have those. Those drive me. You know what I mean? I finally just, I said I want off all these pain meds, all this shit, and went through that whole process again. And let me tell you, as someone who knows addiction all too well, man, that is the last time I go through that shit. I mean, and it's insane the processes they want to make you go through as well. It's like, okay, you want to get off pain medication. Okay, we suggest you go into a 90-day detox and rehab, and after those 90 days, they also want to supplement it with Subutex or Suboxone or whatever, which is another whole other drug that you get. I was like, you know what, fuck this. And I guess I have just enough Rod Kalick in me, man, because I went in the room, rolled up in a blanket, sweated it out, and came out 3 days later with the worst of it in the rear view. It was ugly. It was brutal. But as I said before, man, the only way to beat that machine is to find something you love more. And I love life. I love creating. I love my wife. I love my friends, Justin Thomas. I mean, I just love life. And it's tough getting off all that stuff. But guys, I'm happy to report I've never felt better in my life. My mind is sharp as hell. Every day, the energy is still coming back, the stamina. But literally every day is better. So that's kind of slowed things down a little bit. And we have some really exciting stuff that I think I'll be able to announce to you guys in the near future. Really exciting stuff going on. And hopefully, I think I'll be able to talk about it after the Academy Awards, which are like in 10 days, I think. Anyways, thank you guys for letting me ramble here a little bit, bring you up to speed on everything that's going on. And let's talk a little bit about Mr. Buell. Because, you know, it was really weird when I first met Ryan. Everything, when I decided to go public with my paranormal kind of research and make a paranormal film, I had made this, you know, two-episode, it should have been like a two-hour single film, but we broke it down into two episodes called, it was called Terranormal. And it predated, you know, the Ghost Adventures. Ghost Hunters had been out, I think, for a season. They were just coming back to their second season, I think it was. And it was weird how fast it all happened, because I put up the trailer, and I don't know how it made its way to Dave Schrader, but somehow I got a call from Darkness Radio, and it was Dave Schrader, and he was saying, you know, I have this event down here. And I didn't know him from Adam. I had never met him, you know. And he said, I have this event here at the Queen Mary. And the Ghost Hunters are going to be here. And, you know, everybody who's in the paranormal is going to be here. You should come down and play the trailer to your film. And I was like, oh, great. Awesome. So I went down, you know, met kind of everybody, the who's who in the field. And everybody was, it was interesting. It was kind of standoffish. I don't know. It was weird. Like, people were definitely kind of looking at me like, what's his story? You know, like, what's, is he trying to take a piece of our paranormal pie? It was like that type of shit. But once they saw the trailer, everybody was really excited. And right away, I was invited to the Stanley Hotel for the next Darkness Radio event, which, again, Jay and Grant were going to be there. And by the time that rolled around, Terranormal was done. And our initial screening was going to be at that Stanley event. And at that time, we had two screenings in the concert hall. And at that time, like, literally nobody knew who we were. I mean, they just had just seen the trailer. And it was crazy, because I thought we would have screened Terranormal to like 20 people in the concert hall of, you know, the Stanley Hotel. And, you know, you could probably pack 400 people in there, shoulder to shoulder, tight as hell, you know, at capacity. So when we did our first screening, it was jam packed. Like, I'm talking standing room only. I could not believe it. I was like, why are they all here? Like, I liked Terranormal. I didn't know then, I don't even know now, what necessarily was the draw, besides it was just a different format that was a lot of fun. Terranormal is a really fun, I mean, it was pretty much similar to the Ghost Adventures before they did it. A little too similar if you watch the Ghost Adventures. You know, but what do they say? You know, what is it? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But whatever, hey, you know, it is what it is. But anyways, that first screening was over, and people suddenly were just being mad cool. Like, I mean, literally, I mean, I couldn't take 10 steps without somebody new saying, hey, man, I really dig this. You should take it here. You should meet this guy. And suddenly, all these speakers that were at this conference, you know, wanted me to meet their producers and this guy and that guy. And then somebody told me, they said, hey, just so you know, the word's gotten back to Jay and Grant that this film, Terranormal, is something special. They're going to be, they're coming down to see the second screening, which I thought was super cool. I was like, man, that's cool of them. I mean, certainly they don't have to, you know, they were the kind of keynote speakers of the event. So they did. The second screening was even more packed. There was no room on the floor. They opened up the whole top area, and Jay and Grant sat up there and watched the whole thing. And the second it was over, you know, they pulled me to the side, and Jay and Grant said, listen, we want you to bring this to Sci-Fi. We want it to run right before us. you know, we're looking for another show. And they, you know, kind of pitched me why it would be a good fit there. And I don't know, I just took it as what it was, you know, it just, sometimes you just take things at face value. And, you know, the only thing that didn't make sense to me is, you know, we were doing what they were doing, but doing it in a whole different way. I mean, it was just, the film was different. The approach was different. The vibe was different. The brand was different. Jay and I have very different approaches to building a cast and a story. Jay likes to surround himself with people that are like subordinate, you know, like lessers, where I try to surround myself with people that I think are better than me, that have, you know, more talents or something special about them that exceeds what I can do. I like to pass the story around. I like everybody to kind of be the star and have their moments. And, you know, I don't know if that's the format for Ghost Hunters. And let me say this. Listen, the Ghost Hunters thing works. Okay. So, I'm not condemning them in any way. It works. And those guys, you know, deserve the credit for being there. You know, one of the early shows to kind of shine the light on it all, you know? But we were just so different and we just had different philosophies. I just didn't see that there was any way that it would work. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is because everybody at that event, everybody eventually got around to asking me, well, have you met Ryan Buell yet? And I was like, nah, not at all. And man, it was just vitriol. Like, I mean, so many people, I'm not going to name specific names because I'm not trying to start any shit right now, but so many people just bashed him to me. And it was weird. A lot of it was about his personal relationship and the fact that he was gay and nobody knew, and he's a liar and he's this and he's arrogant and he's this, you know, this college know-it-all kid that, you know, thinks his shit don't stink. Like, just horrible things I had heard about this dude. And, you know, I didn't know him, you know. And thankfully, you know, I had a father that raised me that you don't believe things people say. You judge each person on how they treat you, you know. So I tried my best to not have those terrible things said about him kind of pollute you know, my view of this young man, because I hadn't met him, you know. I was home for literally like 2 days after this event, and shockingly, Ryan Buell calls. And he was doing this conference coming up, and it was just an initial kind of soft call, just to kind of touch base, meet me, and kind of talk about his conference. And I thought he was very, very cool, a very nice guy, and he had an interesting kind of way he spoke. He had this very unique Buell patter, and he's a charming dude. He has this cool Southern drawl, and you know, I definitely could see why producers, you know, thought they could build a show around this guy. He was very interesting. So we just kind of stayed in touch, you know. Nothing, you know, I didn't commit to his thing or didn't say no or anything. We just said, you know, look, we'll stay in touch. And eventually the show came out. Paranormal State did come out. And it just so happened to come out after a series of events that I found myself suddenly not taking Paranormal to anywhere. But I wound up working with Steven Spielberg on this project called Rising. And we were out filming when Paranormal State came out. So Ryan and I were both in similar places at that time, in the sense that we both had our own shows and we were both doing our thing. And after I filmed our first episode of Rising, I think, guys, when I caught the first episode of Paranormal State. And I didn't, the first episode I just didn't get it at all. It was just such, a mixed bag of, oh God, so many different religious theologies and a heavy influence on the psychic thing, which I just know too much about filmmaking. I could see how they were using the psychic on the show. If there's no evidence that they capture, then they're treating the psychic like his guessing is evidence, you know? And I know damn well that I didn't have to be on set to know that any show that has a psychic, they're just going to have them guess for hours until they get something right. And then the show will treat that as evidence, right? And this is not a new thing. I mean, this has been done on paranormal shows since the dawn of time, you know? So I just didn't know what was real and what wasn't with Paranormal State. I didn't get it. I think it's because I just couldn't see where Ryan was going with it. I was just like, what is this about? You know, why are all these people so, all over the board? And I think I missed the main point of it all in the first couple episodes, which is that it's not necessarily about what they were. It's about the stories of the haunted. And I got that when I finally watched this episode where Ryan rode this boat out in the middle of this lake and Elfie was on the boat. And here's this Catholic in this boat, in this haunted lake. And he's got this pagan doing this, you know, pagan ritual, you know, calling on the Archangel Azrael and all this shit. I was just like, oh, I get it. I get it now. I get it. Like, Buell is just, he's throwing everything at it. It's just, he's trying to not only, you know, kick down these old institutional beliefs. I mean, he's trying to absolutely pave a new way and just, you know, leave kind of a Russian burnt earth policy behind him of all these old school ridiculous methods that people are holding true to like it's gospel, you know? And then I started seeing, well, listen, man, if he's successful here, he will be the originator of this new, you know, format, this new brand, this new formula. And then I understood why everybody was freaked out by him. And I'm going to be honest, I liked it. I was like, this is fucking cool, man. Like, this dude's going after it, man. Unapologetically. So we kept talking. He eventually called me up and said, I would love you to be on an episode. And I think the first night we hung out, I think it was in somewhere in Alabama. I think it was Birmingham. And we just hit it off, man. We really, really hit it off. And it was funny because we got really close really fast. And, you know, everybody jokingly, even my own wife was just like, oh God, you and Ryan, you know, you're, you know, at the time I was like 28 years old. It's like your 28 year old bromance, you know, and people joked with us all the time that Ryan and I had a bromance. And, you know, we totally did when I think about it. It was 100% platonic, but I loved the guy. I loved hanging out with him. I found him to be just this, like I said, this really charming dude that was funny as hell. That was just weird enough for me to stay in. I love eccentric people. So like the more eccentric and kind of goofy you are and a little off you are, like I like that shit. And Buell is a different dude, man. And I loved it. But what I loved the most about it is he was the only one I knew in my life at that time that kind of got my world and kind of understood what I was doing and what I was trying to create and what kind of what my passions were. And that's where I think we really kind of connected, kind of as equals. Like I never worked for Ryan, you know, even though I was on the show and all that, I worked with Ryan, you know, and that's how I've been since I got to Hollywood. I was always just like, I'm not going to work for anybody. I will work with someone to make great things together. You know what I mean? And Ryan, I think, saw it the same way. And, you know, together We did. We became great friends, and the public noticed it. They noticed, you know, the fact that we were constantly seen together, that in between filming, we were, if we had 2 or 3 days off, you know, we would go to New York and just get suites and hang out and party there the whole time, or, you know, or go back to State College and hang out at his place. And, you know, there, it was nothing to be on the road for, you know, 6, 8 weeks and be calling Laura going, "Hey, I know I was going to come home, but we got a few more days off. We were thinking about going, you know, to this place for a few days. Are you cool?" You know, and you know, Laura's awesome. She's always like, "Yes, Chad, Jesus." You know, down to the fact that we were, you know, always playing it off and messing with the public, you know, and acting like, you know, like we there's a hilarious photo. In fact, if you look at the screen right now, this is the picture that we intentionally posted. You know, me in a carriage ride with him in New York. It was a play on our bromance, and like, dude, the freaking paranormal world went nuts, going, "Oh my God, is Chad and Ryan dating?" Because none of them knew much about me, so they didn't know I had been married for like 20 years, you know. So we just had a lot of fun, you know. And I'm gonna leave a lot out because you know, from here I kind of want, you know, him to start getting into the story, but and there's a lot to say between he and I. But what you need to know is at the very end of Paranormal State, and I'm just leaving out everything in the middle, you know, because again, I just really want his voice to be heard on this. You know, we had made American Ghost Hunter. We had successfully taken over Paranormal State and we're producing it and directing it. And we had another show off the ground and the Ghost Prophecies, and everything was going really good. And yeah, Ryan started struggling with addiction. And look, here's a fact, and this is just a fact. I've been on countless, I must have been on 100 sets in my life, whether it's music videos, commercial sets, TV sets, music, you know, feature film sets. There's always, I mean, unless I'm running the set and it's my team and I can control, you know, literally what's in everybody's pockets when they come to the set, every time I've been on any set, drugs are a part of it. I mean, it always has been. I've just never seen it any different, no matter what the scenario is. And when I say that, I mean, not that people are showing up like on the set doing a bunch of drugs, but like 70 to 80% of the cast or the crew, well, whether it's weed at night or drinking at night or Adderall at night or Coke or pills or whatever, like it's always prevalent. It's always around. Everybody, you know, has their drug of choice that they do. And by the time I started doing Paranormal State, I had been through, back when I was touring with my band and like all that stuff and coming out of it, I had already been through my first round of like addiction way back in, gosh, it's like 2005. I think I started doing Paranormal State like 2 years later, like 2007. So I was just very aware of what drugs can do. And although everybody would, you know, have their party nights, and we all did, you know, we all partied and had fun and did whatever, I guess I didn't see it happening in real time, I guess. Just because, yeah, I didn't see, there's this, I talk about it in the podcast with Ryan too. There's this great line in this Pantera song where Phil says, "Sliding down the slide that breaks the will." And that's a great way to describe addiction, because whether it's you or somebody else, you don't really see it as it's happening. You just suddenly notice when they're at the bottom of the slide. And yeah, it was weird. when Paranormal State ended, I knew why it was ending. And I'm going to leave a lot of that open for Ryan to discuss in the podcast. But essentially, everybody, this is a fact, everybody knew Ryan was sick. Everyone knew that he had developed a real problem. Everyone knew it. I knew it. I did not want to do season six for that reason. I felt like he needed help. When Ryan brought it up to me that he didn't want to do a seventh season, I fully agreed for that reason. That there's no way he would have been able to do it. I just knew it. And he needed help. So I thought when we quit Paranormal State, I fully planned on, I thought he's going to go get help. He's going to go into treatment or whatever. And to my memory, like I said, we talked about this in the podcast too. And my memory's kind of off about when things were what. But I felt like he got clean and he was like, okay. But then I started just not hearing from him. And I started seeing that same behavior. And I knew it. I knew what was going on. But when I would approach him about it, he's so good. In the beginning, he's so good at kind of telling you what you want to hear. And then it seemed like it went into hyperdrive. Like one day, it seemed like he's okay. Then I don't hear from him. And then he stood me up at this event in Iowa and totally fucked me over and everybody at this event. And then we were releasing American Ghost Hunter. And when we did that initially, and we were a partnership, and he's the one who had the staff. He had like 12, 13 people working for him that were going to help us with all this distribution. And that, I mean, Jesus, we had sold a degree of DVDs, but in that last week, the amount that came in was ungodly. And I was just like, holy shit, like, we need help. We need this staff. Like, I don't have a staff. I don't have the, and, you know, it's one of those things that, man, if you ever, it just made me believe in karma, because at that time, I had never worked so fucking hard in my life to not only with American Ghost Hunter. I mean, in a very short window, I would direct at Paranormal State, shot the pilot for the Ghost Prophecies, made the Ghost Prophecies, executive produced it, directed it, starred in it, shot more Paranormal State, made American Ghost Hunter, went to England, made A Blood Red Sky, and was just, I mean, I had never been so bloodthirsty for success, and it just, I was so hungry, and Ryan, he fucking disappeared. And thank God that because of that, you know, I don't talk about him enough, but I had this friendship with my partner and best friend now, executive producer Thomas, who came in and really was a driving force in seeing all that through and helping me get through it and really just, you know, he turned that whole thing around and we ended up getting everything out to everybody in like 97 days it took to send out like 13,500 DVDs. And so that nightmare through call it fate, destiny, or good karma, ended up bringing me this, and not only a wonderful partner, but man, Thomas has just been there for me, man. Like, I'm talking not, yes, business stuff, but I'm talking like friendship stuff. Like, I mean, my wife adores him, man. He's just, I don't have like blood family a lot. I have an aunt and an uncle that I adore, and I don't have a lot of blood family. I just don't. And I was fortunate, man. I found this wonderful guy that I learned so much from, and I could sit and talk with this guy forever. And And he's such a genius about film and just life experience. And so it was weird because this really fortunate thing happened to me through a terrible scenario. And I remember being so mad at Ryan, but also just so sad, man, that we worked that hard on this. And I knew, you know, he chose the drugs, man. And it's weird when you're in that scenario, because that, if you've been through addiction, the thing that you know is that when the person is addicted, they're literally, physically and emotionally, they are not the same person. They're not. So, you know, this young, you know, kid that I met that had all this fight in him and all this ambition and had his own swagger and his own walk, and you know, this dude that I just, man, just like I said, I thought this kid was amazing, and I believed in him and I backed him, and he's the only guy I've ever known in my life, besides Joey, that I've brought to my manager and my agent and been like, yo, you gotta protect this kid, man. He's family. Like, he's gonna be something special, you know? And I've never done that, you know, for any other person, like in the film business, or just because, you know, you have to protect those interests and make sure that you're bringing, if you're gonna bring someone forward, they gotta be worth the investment and the time. And it's hard to find those people. And it's just all of a sudden this best friend that I had, what I knew is that he just chose the drugs, period. And I was mad as fuck. And I, you know, it wasn't something that I wanted to debate on social media. There's too much that nobody knows. I've left out a ton because I want you to hear Ryan's story. I'm trying to cut my bits down in that interview, but trust me when I tell you, there's so much shit that nobody knew. And the one thing I did know is that time reveals everything, man. Time reveals everything. Eventually, the truth will come out. So I sat there quiet. On one hand, I'm angry as hell. On the other hand, I'm deeply hurt. I'm upset. I'm extremely worried for my friend. I don't know if he's my friend anymore. I don't know if he's going to live. As a betting man, I don't know that I would have at that time put money on the fact that he would have pulled through. And it was extremely frustrating for me. And, you know, one of the hardest parts was watching everybody just bash him like he was the only person involved in anything like partying or drugs or anything like that, which is not true at all. And people, the same people that were taking checks from him and would have continued to take checks from him until the day he fucking OD'd and died, they would have taken checks to his grave. The second those checks stop, there was just a wave of people that just felt the need to lash the fuck out. Like they just now discovered that Ryan had issues. Everybody knew, man. People knew the whole last 2.5 seasons that bad news was developing with Ryan. You know? And it's not like, you know, anybody introduced it. Like when I met Ryan he was graduated from college, man. The whole team was. It was hilarious because it was Paranormal State and not one of them were in college. They were all graduated. So it's not like, you know, someone just introduced Ryan to drugs and he fell off a cliff with them. It's like, you know, look, they were always everywhere. You know? And the way I honestly looked at it, if we're all being honest, did we all have a role in Ryan doing that? Well, I mean, look, Ryan would tell you his decisions are his. But I always try to, like, ask the hard question, man. I mean, it goes back to these words that my father used to say to me all the time. The final stage of being a man is accountability. Accountability. The ability to say, I did that shit. I'll take what's coming to me. So I've looked back at this so many times, and man, the truth is probably everybody could have done a better job of taking care of everybody. I think we all could have looked around the room and said, man, is this good? You know what I mean? Like, are we treating each other in the best way to have success in life? You know what I mean? And when you're 26, 27, 28, 24, and you're on fire like that, man, and life is just fun and exciting, and at the same time, you know, you're reaching for that next job, that next show, that next day, it feels like you're in survival mode. It feels like, how can I take care of somebody else, man? I gotta take care of myself, you know? And it's when people do reach out to take care of you and do nice things for you, it feels so incredible because it's so rare. In the business, it's so rare. And there were times there's a couple times that I talked to Ryan and was just like, hey man, are you okay? Like, I'm worried, man. And look, man, he's just, when you're on it, you know, when you're on one, a real one, and you're rolling, your brain doesn't work that way. Like, am I okay? You know, obviously your brain isn't working right because okay is high. And that's not okay, right? But that's how your brain's working. Your brain is so fucked up that it thinks high is okay. You know? It was brutal. Man, I was getting emails every day, and it was on both sides of the coin. It was, one side was like, you fucking scumbag, you fucked me in Canada. It's like, dude, I was the only one who turned the Canadian tour down. I was never on it. I said no straight up from the jump. I was never on the Canadian tour. Turned it down. The second he fucked me over in Iowa, I was just like, dude, this guy should not be doing dates. So to get one, you know, just emails kept coming. You screwed me up. You're friends with Ryan. But then I get the emails on the other side of it too. I can't believe you're not helping Ryan right now. Where are you in all this? Why aren't you, you know, swooping in and helping your boy? And like, it just didn't matter. It didn't matter. Either way, this is the price you pay when you want to put yourself on the public side of things. You know, like when you choose to be in the public eye, you're just going to have these situations. And so I chose to wait in the wings and hope one day my friend would be okay, because I just know when you're in the throes of addiction, the bottom line is it's not going to stop until you hit that bottom. It's a cliche for a reason. Rock bottom, they say. That's true. It's a real thing. And no amount of talking is going to change that. And if you don't know what happened to him, again, I'm going to leave it for him. It was horrible. It was a horrible time. And, so it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to talk to him again. And I know you guys, man, there's not a day that goes by that I don't get an email. or a message from all you guys going, dude, when are you and Buell going to get back together? When are you going to make another series? You know, but like I hear it, I hear you guys loud and clear. I hear it. You know, all I can say to that is, man, listen, he and I both, when we started talking, the first thing we both talked about is that if that stuff were to ever happen, like, that's baby steps, man. Like, right now, it feels good to talk honestly with him after not seeing honesty from him for so long. I mean, to see this, like, it's Buell. Like, when I talked to him, that's the dude. And I thought that guy was dead. I did. His poor mom, man. I mean, everything she's gone through and his brothers. And he knows all this, man. You guys will hear it all from him, so I don't want to say too much. But again, I want to urge you guys. I urge you to listen to this. And you can decide what you think at the end. Some of you might be like, yeah, fuck him. But I think there's a degree of honesty in his words that provide a teachable moment. And that's what I try to capture in my films, in my art, like in everything, is just a moment that we can really, that he could learn from, that I could learn from, that you could learn from, that, you know, because that's the thing about what I hate the most about addiction, and I hate the most that I have that gene in me too, if I can grab a knife and just fucking cut it out of me, I would. Because it's so common. It's the most common thing about anybody. It's fucking addiction. And just like, it's nothing special. It's nothing new. It's nothing unique. It's this horrible commonality that crosses all walks of life. And that's what I hate. I hate that about it, man. It's just so regular. So, so boringly common. Oh, man. But what's beautiful about all this stuff is, you know, faith and trust are good feelings to have. And the bad side of that is you can get hurt, right? If you have faith or you trust somebody. But there's that old saying, you know, it's better to, like when people date somebody they love, if it doesn't work out, they say it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all, right? And I'm a firm believer in that. It's the same thing with guy friends. It's better to try to trust a guy friend and do the baby steps and see if it works, because as you build that trust, it means so much to you, that bro code. And when it's lost, it hurts. And it's got to come back in baby steps. And I think we both know that, you know? I mean, so right now, we're just, yeah, man. We're just talking. And it's exciting. It's exciting just to talk to my friend. You know, I didn't make his decisions, but I know some of the emotions. So, anyways, I hope you listen. I hope this kind of at least fills in some of the gaps. Again, I never publicly spoke about this. I wanted to wait until time kind of revealed the truth, until time was ready to talk about that. Now, again, I just gave you pieces from my angle. You know, when you're going to hear a ton more, because I didn't know 80% of the stuff that he talked about, because once it ended, once Paranormal stating that he went his own way. So you're going to hear me in the podcast just kind of freaking out at times, because I'm just like, what the fuck, man, are you talking about, you know? And look, honesty to me has always been a powerful thing. And I think when someone is dedicated to it, regardless of the fallout, I find that valuable. And no matter what happens, I just think I'm I'm glad he did this. I'm glad he was honest. He deserved it. His mother deserves it. His family deserves it. His fans deserve it. Like, you know, everybody that was in his life just deserves it. You know, he didn't have to, but I think it's earned. People care and cared about him. So anyways, guys, much love. One last thing I want to let you guys know too. Thank you guys. This is off the subject, but thank you guys for sending in the review videos, because I've shot them. I've actually reviewed a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of, I just need to edit it together. There's reviews of a couple paranormal clips you've sent in, some UFO clips that you guys want me to see and break down. The music stuff you guys sent in. Remember, I was in the hospital for the last year, so I missed a lot of stuff. And there was so many things. You guys sent a lot of cool stuff. Tons of you guys sent in Sleep Token. I've been down with Sleep Token for years, so I didn't review any of that just because I know it. But I reviewed this Oliver Anthony stuff, which I'm not a big country guy, but I have some interesting thoughts on that. Yeah, let's see. Spirit Box, Bad Omens, I had never heard of. I know Ronnie Radke, but there was some, you guys sent in a really interesting Falling in Reverse video I had never seen. Some rapper dude, that Tom McDonald guy. So a lot of interesting stuff. So I'm going to try to get that edited this week or next, whenever I have time, because the film really is taking precedent. But as soon as I do, I will absolutely post those as well. If you have not yet, please subscribe to the podcast. Click the sub button. Click the notifications bell so you know when new episodes come out. Leave me a comment. Let me know your thoughts. Once again, everybody, thank you so much. I will be back tomorrow with more. All the best.